Hello and welcome to episode 83 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And this week we're going to talk to you about long distance relationships, mainly because my husband has gone to the US for 1 week. This is the first time since we got married back in 2015 that we are spending an entire week apart from each other. But we also want to emphasize the importance of recognizing that the long distance relationships in your life are not just about relationships you share with significant others, but also relationships you share with your friends and your family.
So wait, you had a long distance relationship with Shane before you got married, right? Uh-huh. And this is what, the first time you've been away a week since you got married?
Since we got married, yeah.
But you've gone for weekends away by yourself.
Yeah, weekends. So I think the last time we've been away from each other was about 3 or 4 days when he went to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been away for like 3 or 4 days as well, every mm-hmm. once in a while, but no, not for, it's more than a week actually. He left last Saturday and he'll be back only on Sunday. So.
God, are you doing that thing again where you're counting the days? Oh my God.
Makes me very sad.
Oh my God. Is that why before we started recording, you spoke to me for like 25 minutes? Because you haven't had anybody to speak to.
Can I just point out that I have not been able to talk to Shane the way I used to when we were in a proper long-distance relationship because of the fucking time difference between the UK and the US?
Oh, yeah. I struggle to even speak to my own brother. It's too difficult.
It is.
I can never get on a phone call with him. No. Even when we try on the weekends, it's a bit of a hit and miss, really. It's very difficult, yeah. But anyway, it's just like 4 days, so just man up.
So what part of the US is your brother in?
He's in California.
So what is the time difference with the UK?
I think we are 10 hours ahead of them.
Ah, okay.
Something like that.
Shane's gone to Seattle. So
it's the same.
It's 8 hours, actually.
Oh,
we are eight hours ahead. Yeah, so Washington is like...
It's a different
zone. Yeah, it's the West Coast, isn't it? California, your brother's in the West Coast and Seattle is more towards the middle.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, let's not talk about geography a bit any longer because I'm going to embarrass myself, so let's just leave it there.
Yeah. So yeah, an 8-hour time difference means that when I go to bed at night is when Shane is kind of waking up. No, not waking up. He's actually at work. And when I wake up first thing in the morning and I call him is when he's about to go to bed.
So Ankita, I mean, I don't really feel the need to explain to our listeners why I know a lot about long-distance relationships, etc. Maybe they'll find out one day. But I think I can share my own experience and from quite a subjective and objective point of view. I think long-distance relationships, as you said, it's really important to understand that you can't just think about it between a boyfriend and girlfriend or, as you said, significant half. It's also between mm-hmm. your friends, like us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a long-distance relationship.
We've had that going strong for 2.5 years.
And, I mean, we have long-distance relationships with our parents and our family as well. And I think I've learned a lot from my experiences, good and bad. I mean, don't get me wrong, Ankita. I mean, a lot of people have asked me, like, oh, Meenal, how do you do it? You know, those really annoying questions.
Yeah.
Like, how does it work? How do you do it? How do you not cheat on someone? How do you... And you're just like, well, when you're put in a position where you just have to get on with it, and if you love someone, like I love my parents, for example, and I had to leave them, you love Shane, you had to be in a long-distance relationship, you find ways to work around it. And I think for me, one of the trickiest things that I find difficult to understand is the loyalty aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just being really naive, and I think I'm being really naive in saying this, but people always ask about the loyalty side, right?
Yeah.
But you're so far away. How do you know what he's doing? And how do you not get tempted to do this? And how do you not get tempted to do that? And I always have the same answer for that. And this is like, if you know why you're in a relationship, if you know why you're with that person, then that shouldn't even cross your mind. That's what I think. Maybe that's a very naive way of looking at it, but that's just the way I look at it.
The weird thing is, when I was about to get married to Shane, and this is after...
cheated on him.
Yeah. Shane, too bad for you. You're finding out while editing this podcast.
Oh my God, that'd be such a heartbreak.
Yeah, don't come back from the US because, you know, this is over.
Oh, that's no, so funny.
Sorry, I said that. No, but when I was about to get married to him, and this was after 4 years of us having a mostly long distance relationship, this person, a much older gentleman who's married and someone that I respected, he actually told me, every single person I know who lives in the UK and has a significant other in India has cheated on his wife or girlfriend. And I didn't know why he had to say this to me when I was about to get married to someone who has mostly been in the UK while I have been in India. And I asked, why is that? And he said, well, that's just how it is, you know, that's just how it works out. He had no explanation except for the fact that he had to say something like that to me. Mm. And I just felt so irritated by that comment. People would ask you, how do you know what they're doing? How do you know, etc. But a lot of the times you don't know. And there's
it's not that you don't, it's not that you don't know. The question is, you don't need to know.
You don't need to know.
You don't
exactly.
need to know when someone is taking a shower. You don't need to know when someone's taking a shit. You don't need to know when someone's wiping their ass. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm really sorry that I'm being so, like, upright. But I've seen a lot of girls do that.
Yeah? Well, like, do what? Like, have the need to know? Or, like, text their boyfriends while they're wiping their ass?
No, literally. Like, I've seen girls do this. Like, oh, hey, hey, babe, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going in the shower. Mm-hmm. And if someone said to me, I'm going in the shower, I'd just be like, okay, fine, have a shower. I'll talk to you later. But no, they'll just like keep talking like, oh, you're going in the shower. Okay, fine. And they'll take the phone into the bathroom. And then it's just like, well, you don't give each other space. And I think that when you have long distance relationships, it can either go two ways. Oh, you can even, well, it can go in the middle. But I think the spectrum is that either you are too dependent, mm-hmm. and the other side of the spectrum is that you're too independent. Mm-hmm. And I think the middle balance, which is like the sweet spot, is when you're harmoniously independent. Mm-hmm. So you're harmoniously independent in your own lives, but you still have that like synchronization and, well, I guess harmony between each other to keep your lives together.
Yeah.
It's not easy to find that spot, but I mean, I've never been the type of person who's been clingy or really dependent on someone. If I have a bad day, it's not like I have to call someone or speak to someone. Of course it helps, but I just know I'm not that kind of person. And I know some people are, and that is absolutely fine. But I just think it's not I just don't think it's healthy to have to depend on someone all the time. And this is not just long distance. I mean, even in a normal relationship as well.
When this guy told me that any guy who's in the UK has another affair with someone or whatever, his partner she told me, the weird thing is I've never seen you talk to Shane that much. And I'm like, yeah, well, he's in a different country, and when I'm spending time with you guys, I'm gonna spend time with you guys, and I'm gonna be in this moment and enjoy that. And it doesn't mean that I need to be constantly talking to my boyfriend or fiance. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be constantly texting someone or constantly talking to someone just because you're in a long distance relationship. It's not like your life comes to an end. It's not like your priorities completely change to make just this individual your priority.
Exactly, Ankita. I think there are times where I've been in a position where I've started off any long distance relationship, whether it's my friend or my parents. And I think I do that with my parents quite a lot, actually. Like when I first leave them, the first few weeks, I'm like, Mom, are you okay? Has Dad come back from work? What have you had for dinner? And then slowly it just starts to just fade away, because I'm just like, well, you have to put in a certain amount of energy to do that, you know? And then if you put so much energy into that, you're kind of left with nothing for yourself or for your own, like, sanity, you know? As I said just a moment ago, it's really difficult to find that sweet spot. But I also feel like when you're in a long-distance relationship, some people feel the need to overdo it.
Mm.
Okay, I actually just thought you pulled your eyelash out there.
No, I didn't.
Some people
I'm
feel...
I'm just crying because I miss Shane.
Oh my god.
No, I know what you mean. I totally get the whole, like, you have to overdo it in such a way that, oh my God, if I don't constantly talk to this person, or if I don't set a routine and talk to this person, then this is not going to work out. There's that entire myth about, oh, long distance relationships never work out. And
bullshit.
To that anyone is, who says bullshit. That, let me just point out that my most successful long distance relationship ever is my relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. It is going strong since I came out from her womb. Basically, yeah. I talk to my mother every single day for at least 15 minutes. And we talk like best friends, and we talk about everything. And
but
it's
how do you talk to her now when you were working?
I wake up in the morning, and after I've had my breakfast, it's my morning routine to call my parents, talk to both of them. I speak to my dad for just about 2 minutes, because that is how we do it. For him, he just wants to hear my voice, and he just wants to know that I'm okay, and that's okay. But with my mom, it's just a continuing relationship where always we've been. I remember from the time I was 6 or 7 years old and my dad was traveling for work, my mum and I would sit down and talk about everything in our lives, and we'd still do that. Mm. And it's just, you know, it's continued, and it takes effort, it takes prioritization, and it takes a little bit of discipline and routine as well to maintain that. And it's the same even for your spouse, significant other, anyone. You can make people a priority, but that doesn't mean that I'm constantly texting my mum. It doesn't mean that I'm calling her during my lunch break. It doesn't mean that I'm texting her that I'm about to get into the shower.
Yeah.
It's healthy, but it's not over the top. And it's the same every
day. I mean, I wish I could speak to my mom every day, but only because of my work timings, right? Like, I start work at 8. I mean, I have to wake up at stupid o'clock anyway. I barely have time to just get myself together. I just don't have time to talk to my mom in the mornings. But I always try to talk to her on my walk back from home.
Yeah.
And that's all I can do. Like, and sometimes during the day, there are some nice things that happen. Like today, one of my patients bought me a box of chocolates, which is really nice. And then I just send that photo to my mom, like, oh, look, this is what happened. And, you know, so things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times, I mean, Ankita, there are times where I have bad days and I have to call my mom as well. But sometimes you just have to be, and this is all to all our listeners who are adults, of course. If you're younger, then it's a bit different. But to all our listeners who are adults, I think when you're in a long distance relationship, it's so easy. And again, not just long distance, any relationship, it's so easy to expect to have that fallback. Be like, actually, you know what? If I call my boyfriend, I'll feel a lot better. But I think sometimes in a long distance relationship, you just have to use those moments sometimes to make yourself independent. And empower yourself as well, because that's when the most growth happens, right? When you've hit your low points. I've hit many low points, and I've just had to deal with it myself and talk to myself about it and try to solve it on my own. And then I'll talk to someone, because when you start getting opinions from the word go, then it sort of starts to, you can say, like, jade your vision. And you start to, like, you know, it starts to contaminate a bit of what you truly feel. So one thing I've learned, especially with long distance relationship with my parents. So, I mean, Ankita, even with you, like, when I come to you with a problem, I think about it myself first. Okay, I'll be honest, there are times where I've sent you voice notes in, like, distress, but but apart from that, I mean, there have been times when I've done that, I'll put my hands up and say it's happened. But usually I just take a moment to myself, because I understand as a person and as a human, I'm not going to have people around me my whole life.
Yeah.
And you can't just use your relationship or your long distance relationship to fall back on people. And I think a lot of people tend to do that. And I personally think it's not healthy. And I think that in the long run, it can have quite bad effects on your relationship.
You know, because you mentioned this, it's actually funny. Yesterday, I'm listening to a new audiobook. Let's start with that. Okay. And the name of the audiobook is The Girl Before. It's really interesting for anyone who wants to give it a go. So there's a bit in the book about a break-in and how a girl is assaulted during a break-in that happens in her flat in London. And listening to this as I'm going to bed alone in a flat that I know for sure that I've locked and is secure and everything. But obviously this is playing in the back of my mind. I wake up in the middle of the night about twice or thrice because I'm convinced that someone is breaking into my apartment. I hear noises. I'm just so convinced that something is happening. My heart rate goes up. I wear a Fitbit to bed. I check my heart rate and it's at like 112. Oh my God,
you actually had time to check your Fitbit.
I did. It was at 112 and it said fat burn. And my heart was just going thud, 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 thud.
Were you burning fat?
I was burning fat. I was that fucking freaked out. So
that's hilarious.
That happens. And I'm in so much distress. You know, the first person I pick up my phone and text is actually Shane, who's in another continent.
And he can't do anything about it.
He can't do anything about it. But see, that's the thing. The rational side of my brain is still working. I know for certain that this is completely, like, the flat is safe. I've locked everything. I double checked. I know for sure that nothing is happening. It's just something I heard. So yeah, I text
that's really interesting, because if I was in that situation,
yeah,
I would have dealt with it. Maybe the next day I would have called the person or my other half and being like, oh, you know what happened last night?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't know if that's a bad thing, because it means that I don't open up and I don't share enough of my life, or I don't share moments enough with other people, or if it's a good thing because it just means that I just get on with stuff.
Well, I don't know. I am not therapist. Don't ask me such deep questions.
I feel that's why we started the podcast.
So that I can be a therapist on air.
So we can be each other therapists.
So what do you think about my psychological breakdown? when I thought someone... Well, no, I knew for certain there was nothing out there. And I was just freaked out and was asking myself to calm down.
It's just human nature, and it's innate to just think about the person who's going to protect you. In your head, it's obviously Shane who's going to protect you. And you wanted to speak to the person who can protect you. Even though Shane is not physically there, maybe his words would have comforted you.
Well, the only thing I asked him, basically, my text message to him was, I thought someone was trying to break in, freaking out a bit. That's not possible at all, right? Is what I asked him. He didn't reply to me because he saw the reassurance. Yeah, I was like, are you sure nothing can happen? And then I just fell asleep and I woke up and I saw that he had seen the message but not responded. And my first reaction was, oh, you don't care anymore because you're in another continent.
Oh my God.
He was like, that's only because I was scared that your phone was not on silent. And then I would respond to that message and then you would wake up and you would be even more pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a possibility.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that's the thing. You see, you just reached out to the person who's going to protect you, mm-hmm. and that's Shane, right?
Or at least reassure me that
or reassure you. But yeah. And Ankita, I'm not having a dig at you, but I'm just saying, like, couldn't you have just told yourself, like, actually, Ankita, no one's going to break in this house?
Obviously, I knew that, which is why I didn't get out of the house or anything. Like, I didn't even, like, open the door or anything.
I'm saying what went through your head to have to mess Shane? That's my question, because I'm asking you because I wouldn't do that, and I want to know why you're doing that.
So, he's my best friend. So I was sharing something that happened to me, and I'm not calm. I'm not happy in this moment, although the rational side of my brain knows that I'm safe. I was reaching out to my best friend, who I knew mm-hmm. would be awake at that time. That was all it was.
So what would you have just... I don't understand.
See, because after that, I just put my phone to the side and I went off to bed. I was just...
Do you think you would have only felt okay to go to bed if you'd spoken to him? Or if you had just sent that message, whether he read it or not, for you to just...
Let him know this happened.
Yeah, that's it. That made you feel better.
Yeah, I just
really?
Had to, like, okay. Yeah, I just had to say, okay, this happened. This is what I'm feeling right now. It's done. Okay, bye.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, maybe I would do the same. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm not saying I've never done that kind of thing before. I'm sure I have. Because, I mean, there have been times where I've woken up at 3, 4 a.m. not feeling well and I messaged someone and I've done that as well. But it's just interesting to see how different relationships work. And again, there's no right or wrong answer. I mean, everyone has their own method that works. I mean, you've had your long distance relationship with Shane, and I don't know how it worked for you as well, because you were quite far away. You only saw each other what, two times a year?
Two times a year, yeah. That's
over Christmas and over summer.
It was not necessarily like that, because Shane was in uni for some part of it, which meant that he... Thankfully, in his department, it was not compulsory for him to have attendance. So he could basically just come home whenever. So he wouldn't come during the peak time when everyone was leaving, and like he wouldn't do that. He would come randomly when it was convenient for me as well. Sometimes he came in for Valentine's Day as a surprise.
Hmm.
And yeah, he would do things like that, which was not like peak travel hours.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was pretty much on average 2 times a year that we saw each other, except for 1 year that he spent in India working for his parents, which I must admit was one of the most miserable years of our relationship ever.
You've told me about that. Yeah.
In the history of our relationship. We've been together for almost 8 years now. Hmm. And that 1 year that he spent in Trivandrum, in close proximity to me while I was also a student, that was the worst year of our relationship. I almost thought that we were going to break up.
Really?
Yeah, he was a very unhappy, miserable human being who was working for his parents' company, which in some cases, for some people, it works out. But in Shane's case, it just didn't work out. They were not on the same wavelength. So he was always miserable working there. So in a foul mood, and that would come, you know, he would come back in that foul mood and try
to talk
to me. But
you see, Ankita, that's the thing. Long distance relationships also depends on not just your relationship, but there are so many other factors around it, especially your job. I mean, I work as a doctor, and I truly believe that I will only be able to be with someone who's also a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, I'm not saying that it doesn't work with other people, of course it does. But just the life of a doctor, especially in the NHS, it's so different. I'm not saying it's the most difficult, most stressful job. That's not what I'm saying. Everybody's job is difficult and stressful. Everybody has their own problems to deal with. But it's just the lifestyle. You know, Ankita, you've got night shifts, you've got on calls. We don't have weekends off. We have Saturday nights we have to work, Sunday. And all of these play a big role. I mean, I worked, I think, 12 hours a day, and I was only supposed to work for 8.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I was in an okay mood, but nobody died and there wasn't an emergency. But if there was, and I had to come home and speak to either my mother or my significant half? Is that what you say?
Better half.
12-hour shift. My better half. If I had to come back and speak to my better half, I could have just exploded on them, or I could have just been really rude, like Shane was to you when he was in Trivandrum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's so important that when you have stressful situations, to learn how to cope with it yourself, to improve your relationship with other people. So for example, if you have a bad day at work, you're already wired to deal with it yourself, that when you go and approach the person you love, you don't explode on them. Does that make sense?
Yep. Like you've already trained. Technically, when Shane was working in Trivandrum, we were still in a long distance relationship technically, because I was in a different city.
Mm.
And there's a good chance we met up like only once in 2 months or something. It was pretty shit. But along the same lines, just to feed to the narrative here, when I was professionally unhappy, when I was unemployed and professionally unhappy and didn't feel like I was doing the best I could, that was also a time in our relationship where I was the problem causer. Like I was creating the problems mostly, because my unhappiness would just reflect on everything else, no matter how amazing Shane was.
Well, happiness is always multiplied. Happiness and unhappiness is always multiplied. So this is why I always say you have to be happy individuals to come together, and you can't, I mean, your happiness shouldn't depend on Shane and vice versa.
No.
Because if not, you're just sucking each other's soul for energy.
Oh, 100%. Whether you're in a long-distance relationship or not, you need to be, like you said, happy individually and then come together. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the whole idea of dependence, obviously, every single relationship has a bit of dependence. I'm dependent on my mother in a lot of ways. I'm dependent on Shane emotionally in a lot of ways. But that dependence should not be the only thing in your life. Because when that becomes the case, that's when it becomes almost impossible to be happy individually.
And I think this is one of the biggest reasons why I decided to go out on so many ventures when I was a student. You know, like the podcast and charity work and table tennis and all these things, because I felt like doing those things shaped me as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And my individuality, my character, shouldn't it should be connected, of course, to someone you marry, to someone who's your partner, your life partner. Of course it should. But I mean, like, for example, Ankita, when people see you, I don't know how you feel, but I would assume you want people to see you as Ankita, not Ayan.
Obviously, yeah.
You don't want people, oh, she's Shane's wife. Or same yeah. with Shane, and you don't want him to think of Ankita's husband. You want to have your own individual character. That's how I feel. I'm not saying that's how you should feel. I'm saying everyone's entitled to feel however they want, of course. But I'm just saying, for me at least, it was like, I want people to see me as Meenal.
Yeah.
And of course, it's okay to say if she's Anuradha's daughter, if she's Madan's daughter, that's fine. But people should see me as an individual because of my accomplishments and my achievements. And that should emanate into your partner's life. And I think that now we live in a day and age where it is possible to shape yourself as an individual. Very possible. There is no need to be dependent on anybody because we have so many resources. We have so much empowerment as women and as men as well, I guess. So for any, I just want to say that for any female, especially female, I want to say, because I think it's a bit different for the other gender, is any female who thinks that they can only make their mark, feel like they can only thrive and
as somebody's partner,
like, please don't think that, you know, you are an individual, you can shape yourself. And imagine having two golden individuals right next to each other. When you come together, you have so much power together. But if you have to, as I said, if you have to depend on each other, you're just sucking each other's energy. And it becomes really difficult. But
you know what? There does come a point in your life when you would feel happy to be identified as related to someone else. And I've seen this with my own eyes, and I haven't experienced it. Meenal, you might experience this at some point in your life, which is to be identified as somebody's mother or father. So yeah. this is like, it's the weirdest thing. My parents feel very proud to go into a gathering where people would introduce them as Ankita's parents. Mm-hmm. And I feel like only parents would feel that way.
Yeah, in most cases. But to be fair, Shane, sorry. Well, Shane, this is a question to you as well, because you're editing. So maybe.
Well, I have a little bit of facial hair, but I can't believe you actually caught up with Shane. I admit that I have facial hair. Can you see my little mustache?
No, I actually can't see.
I drew this at work. So for our listeners who can't obviously see, my index finger, on the side of my index finger today, I drew a little mustache. And then I went around putting my index finger across, like, on my upper lip.
Well, because you have so much time at work.
Yeah, like somebody...
Is that what Google pays you for? Google, are you listening?
Google, this is what I do.
No, I was saying that I think, Ankita, if you just got married, mm-hmm. and if someone referred to you as Shane's wife, you wouldn't feel great. But if 10 years down the line, with all that you have accomplished so far, and I'm sure you've got many, many more amazing accomplishments to reach, after 10 years, if someone calls you Shane's wife, you'd be like, yeah, cool, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Because you already know yourself as an individual, that you already have what you have. And, you know, before when... People always, and this is something that's always happened in Gibraltar, people have always referred to me as Akhil's sister. Because
mm-hmm.
like, oh, Akhil is the one who does this, Akhil doesn't know that. It's only now when people are like, oh, you're Meenal's brother.
Mm.
Oh, you're, and even when people now tell me, oh, Akhil's sister, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Because in myself, I already know what I am and who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't need that validation from outside.
You know, in Big Bang Theory, there's this episode where Sheldon goes to Amy's Princeton University, and he meets with some of her co-workers and colleagues, and they're all, you know, all singing praises of Amy because she's such an amazing scientist. Mm-hmm. And he feels a bit insulted. I've seen that episode. Because, yeah, he's also an amazing scientist, and he wants people to ask him intelligent questions about his work.
Mm.
And then he comes back and he realizes that he was just being a dick.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and tells her that, you know, in the Avengers movie, sometimes Iron Man makes an appearance, a cameo appearance in Captain America, and Captain America sometimes makes a cameo appearance in Iron Man, but they each go to the other's movies and make this cameo appearance, entertain their audience for a bit, but don't take the spotlight away. I'm happy to do that from now on.
Mm.
And that's a good balance, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
That's a good analogy, actually. That's how it should be. I'm actually very interested to hear from our listeners on this, because long distance relationship, I mean, you can have so many bits of advice on this and it will never end. And there are so many different unique problems in long distance relationships. And I would like to hear from you guys, because as I said, every relationship is quite different and is quite unique in its own way. And I'm sure people have their own obstacles to overcome. And I think even something as small as, Ankita, I don't think you had this problem, but if you're in a long distance relationship and you live in India, you might have like strict parents, and just to Skype your boyfriend, you'd have to like hide from them or
initially,
do stuff like
yeah,
that.
I did yeah. have to hide this, but towards like 1 year down the line, they knew.
Mm.
But I don't think they were very comfortable with the time difference and when we were Skyping, as if Skyping during the day is more prudent than
yeah,
Skyping
yeah.
at night.
No, but I think this is a small issue that we're laughing at now, but it can actually be quite a big problem, Ankita. Because I've had problems where I've tried to Skype or tried to call someone, and you get so scared that you're not even focused on the phone call or the conversation. You're just focused on the fear and focused on getting caught, that it just takes the whole fun out of it. So, Ankita, actually, we need to wrap up because my laptop's running out of battery.
Okay.
But if there's anything you want to add, just add a note.
If any of you want to share your long-distance relationship stories or any tips that you have for the rest of our listeners, please do mail them to mail@desioutsiders.com. Or as always, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all other social media platforms, @DesiOutsiders.
And if
So, Meenal, I don't know what you do if you're missing someone and you have some time to yourself, but I'm quite happy to say that on the first night that Shane was away, I drew myself a bath. I bought myself a bath shortener because I need that, otherwise I drown in the bath. and I watched a movie, and it was pretty amazing to, you know, spend some time on self-love.
Hmm. I think when I get married, I think I'm going to actually miss this independence. Because even today when I finished work, I was walking home and I thought, I'm so glad I can just be by myself because I need to after such a long day. So I just think that in relationships and in life, yeah, there are times where you miss someone, but also enjoy those times with yourself as well, because you won't get them back. And it's time to grow in yourself. It's time to grow as and blossom as a person. So don't forget that. And if you have any tips for how Ankita and I can maintain our long distance relationship, we'd really appreciate that.
I think we're maintaining it pretty well. I would rather not maintain it too well.
I think we are the epitome of long distance relationships. I think one day when people talk about long distance, they'll talk about us.
Yeah,
I think Minkita, oh, that's a terrible name. Oh my God.
who called us Minkita? I can't remember.
Probably you. Only
no,
you would come up with a name like that.
No, I think someone sent us an email saying Minkita. That's how
really?
It stuck.
No, that just sounds like we're really mean people. Minkita, that just sounds, no, that's not good. If you have a combined name for us, please let us know as well.
Unkinel. Unkinel sounds like urinal.
Okay, we're obviously both very tired after a long day at work, so we're gonna stop over there. Thank you all for tuning in. We love you guys, and please keep sending us your emails. We love reading them, and we will see you next week. So until next week, I'm Meenal,
and I'm Ankita,
and we are Desi Outsiders.